Miss an interview? Listen to it now at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business, so should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC.
You're listening to Terry Wickstrom Outdoors and 104.3 The Fan. Let's get right to the phones. Joining us is Chad LaChance. Good morning, Chad.
Hey, good morning, Terry. Happy 4th of July.
Happy 4th. Sorry we got to you a little late, Chad. I thought it was pretty important that we let Josh kind of keep going on the spearfishing thing, though.
Well, yeah, I was listening in on that, and you know, I appreciate that he came on and talked about that. I know Josh, he's a good guy. You know, I have 2 cents. I'm going to throw it out there real quick, Terry. I think that the spearfishing thing, my opinion is it's a poor idea. And it's basically for one reason and only one reason. It's a very small user group with a very effective tool for impacting our fisheries. And, you know, the thing is they don't harvest a lot of fish, but they harvest the top 1% of the population size-wise, brood stock, things like that. And the idea of guys shooting, you know, lake trout in shallow water or walleyes when they're spawning, I've swam with the fish. I know you can swim right up to them. So anyway, that's my 2 cents worth on that. And if you need somebody that wants to call in next week and debate that, I'd be happy to be that guy.
Well, we're setting that up, Chad. We are going to have a pros and cons. I haven't got the timing of it yet, and you're definitely one of the names that's on the list from the angling community that may be our response. And we do have a commitment from the spearfishing. When you were in California, did you do any spearfishing yourself?
Well, in Florida, actually, and I have with a Hawaiian sling, mostly, which is similar to a spear gun, but not as effective because it doesn't go as far. But I've done a tremendous amount of snorkeling, both here in Colorado and in Florida, and I know unequivocally that I can swim right up to any smallmouth bass in this lake, and they don't care. And that's where my concern is, because as an angler, it's one thing to trick a fish into biting something. It's another thing to just swim right up to them and shoot them. And I know from watching guys spearfish in Wyoming when I was up there, they were unbelievably effective. In a matter of about 15 minutes, they had 2 limits of gigantic walleye in the boat and pulled up the anchor and left. And, I mean, it's a very, very effective tool. I think it has its place in the ocean. It maybe has its place for, you know, rough fish, things like carp. I can understand it in fish they're trying to remove from a fishery. But as a wholesale statement of spearing game fish, I think it's way too easy to harvest the prize bull that way.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to cover that in depth next week with representatives from both sides. I tell you what I do want to talk about, Chad, though, is some angling opportunities still in the Front Range. Because we were running a little late, can I put you on hold for a quick break? And let's come back and talk about maybe where people can go catch some fish with a rod and reel right around here. Is that all right?
Sounds good. I'll wait.
All right, we'll take a quick time out. When we come back, Chad LaChance will tell you maybe where you can catch a fish today or tomorrow, right here in Colorado on Terry Wickstrom Outdoors and 104.3 The Fan.
To be an American, where at least I know I'm free.
Very appropriate song on 4th of July. You're listening to Terry Wickstrom Outdoors on 104.3 The Fan, and I have tasked Chad LaChance, who is back with us, with telling you where the next few days you can go catch some fish, Chad.
Yes, sir. You know, right now, Terry, as we've talked about at length in the past, this is the time of year we're in the peak summer bite. So, you know, everybody's eating as far as fish go. They're trying to fatten up. This is the waters are nearing their warmer temperatures for the year. And so your options are huge. The one thing I want to throw out real quick for today, they are already turning people away at Boyd Lake, Carter Lake, and Horsetooth. So if you're not already at the lake, too late for today to come to any of these reservoirs. They're stopping people down at JJ's at this point. So, but anyway, it's back to the fishing. The fishing is really actually pretty good everywhere we've been in the last week and a half. And the places that are getting the least amount of pressure from what I've seen is for sure most of the area's smaller ponds. There's a lot of people at the ponds, but they're not getting a tremendous amount of fishing pressure. And so, you know, if I'm going out like today, tomorrow, here on 4th of July weekend, trying to avoid some of the crowds, I'm going to avoid the big parks and go to the smaller areas, the state wildlife areas, or some of the city ponds around town, things like that, because I'm going to have the most chance at consistent bite. What you're going to find in those ponds is very, very easy to catch. Bluegills, crappies, green sunfish in some cases, pumpkin seeds in some of them, but a lot of panfish. So easy peasy on the panfish. They don't care how warm the temperatures are outside. And that should be a really consistent bite. Really, anybody that can hear this can probably capitalize on that. If I am going to hit one of the reservoirs, I'm probably looking at my warmest water species right now, the obviously being the bass in most of the reservoirs. The horsetooth is up and over 70 degrees. So what trout are in here are substantially deeper at this point. They'll make forays into shallow water to feed, but for the most part, they're staying deep. The walleye bite's been very inconsistent here. Same at Carter. It's starting to come around a little bit at Carter, but the walleye bite has been very inconsistent. One day it's good, the next day it's not. And so people need to keep a mindset that if they don't catch them in the morning, you know, keep grinding. You might catch them in the afternoon or vice versa. So that's going to be a thing there. I know that as far as the rivers go, most of them are doing fairly well. There's still some stain in the water in a lot of the river systems up and down the Front Range right now. But you know how I feel about that, Terry. That, in my mind, actually can help the angler to some degree. You just have to adjust your presentations accordingly. I'd rather deal with water that's a little bit high and stained in the river than I would crystal clear and low, you know? So, well,
especially if you've seen me cast the fly the way I stir up the water, I'm better off if it's a little.
Yeah, that's probably my thing as well. The stained water definitely hides all kinds of angler errors. It also makes the fish a little bit more ambitious about feeding to high water. So those things come together. But I also know that, like, all the bathrooms, people need to be prepared because, like, if let's say you're going to go in Poudre Canyon, all the bathrooms are closed still. All the Forest Service bathrooms and stuff are closed. So if you're going to take the family up into the park, you might, or up into the canyon, or any of the canyons, really, you might consider that there's not resources necessarily available that we are used to having in those canyons at this point. Hopefully they're going to get some of that stuff opened up pretty quick.
I will tell you that I was out a couple of days ago, just going from pond to pond because I had to order new trolling motor batteries, so I couldn't take my boat because I screwed up again. But every pond I went to, I fished for bass a little bit, but I wanted to see what the panfish bite was. And I took just a clip-on bobber with about 2 to 3 feet of line below it and a tiny jig, like an ice fishing jig almost, and I put on that little tiny gulp extruded night crawler, that little one that's about an inch long, you know which one I'm talking about, in a natural color.
Yes, sir, I do. Yep.
And I could not keep the panfish off of that. I could have caught as many as I wanted. Some pretty good size, too. So what a day to get the kids out, you know, take a picnic lunch because the picnic tables are open again, and sit there and just have a good time. And you know what? Even if you don't fish, get the kids set up, and they will have a blast.
Well, that's what I was going to say, Terry. The first rule about taking kids fishing is it's about them. And you know, I don't have kids, but I've done an extensive amount of coaching kids. I worked at gajillion kids events. And the first thing you do wrong is pick up a fishing rod. So the right answer is to definitely take care of the kids. And like I said, it's that summer peak where the bluegills, I mean, even out here, I've been in the lake a lot the last couple of days here on Horsetooth. And if you park the boat in any one spot for more than about 20 minutes, there'd be a pile of them underneath your boat that you can start catching, you know? And so this is for sure the time to get out and enjoy the long days. And, you know, the other thing is if I'm going bass fishing in the evening, I don't care how crowded the lake is or the pond is or how many people were there during the day. The last hour of daylight, largemouth bass are going to feed. And I mean, they're named for the size of their mouth, not the size of their brain. And they want to eat for real. And they're going to feed, and a surface bite can be really good every evening, even if they've been pounded on all day by anglers. They just, it's what they do. They feed up, they have a big mouth, they do it for a reason. And don't be afraid of the size of the bait you're going to throw this time of year. If I'm going to a pond somewhere looking for largemouth now, I'm throwing a big bait. I'm throwing something, I'm going to give them a real mouthful of food. I'm not maybe going to catch the sheer numbers of fish that way, but I have a chance at the bigs that live in the ponds. And believe me, every single one of the gravel quarry ponds that I've ever fished up and down the state, I've sampled a few with Parks and Wildlife, they all have at least a few big bass in them. It's just up to us to find them.
Oh, you're absolutely right. And it is a great time to catch them. And you mentioned something, I think this applies to most of the fishing this year. You talked about no matter how much fishing pressure, you know, I used to hear about Cherry Creek all the time. They said, well, with all the boats at Cherry Creek, when do you fish? The fish have to be spooked all the time. I said, if you live next door to the airport, would you just quit eating for the rest of your life? I mean, eventually you get accustomed to that. And I think across Colorado, we're getting a lot of fishing pressure. We're not necessarily getting a lot of catching pressure. And I think that the fish are responding quite well. You don't have to worry about the other anglers.
No, you definitely don't. And, you know, as a guy that guides for, you know, a significant portion of my living, it is definitely, if I couldn't catch fish behind other anglers, we wouldn't get a lot of fish caught. And you're right, these days the lake is very busy. But I've had lots of days in the past where I begged for some boats to show up because it was glass, calm, and sunny, and nothing going on. And you get a couple of wakeboard boats start running up and down the lake, and they'll start stirring up the shorelines and get some fish to move. So, you know, as you know, also, one of my favorite places to fish anywhere we go is the boat ramp because it's the busiest place on the lake, and it gets fish going. So the fishing pressure bothers fishermen more than the fish, no question about that. And certainly some fish will wise up to certain techniques or whatever. But, again, that's back on the angler to figure that out. And, you know, and if what you're doing is not working, do something else, because they are around. They are trying to eat. It's just a matter of us locating them. And, you know, I'm sitting here looking out across the bay right now. There's a bajillion boats out here in Inlet Bay right now. And I guarantee you can go out in about 5 minutes and catch one.
You know, one thing I do want to say, people see you and myself on television and they listen to these radio shows and read the articles we read, and then they go out and they fish for a half hour and they don't have any luck. And first of all, I want to say we don't catch fish every time we throw a line in the water either.
Yourself, bro. I don't know about that.
But it does take some patience, especially when you're learning. You know, Gail, go out with the expectation you're going to have a good time, and then you'll probably catch a few fish, but you may have to work, and you're going to get better as you go.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, what I tell people, too, as far as that goes, is you know, fish, go with an open mind a little bit. If what you're doing isn't working, do something else. Don't just because you read that Chad says throw a jig right now doesn't mean that that's the only thing that's going to work right now. That just means that it will work for Chad and probably you if you do it right. But that doesn't mean you can't catch them on a crankbait or something else, depending on the condition. So I tell people the same thing. You know, if what you're doing is not working, change it up. If you've got a bait out there hanging under a bobber and it's not bit in 20 minutes, move it. Throw it somewhere else. Throw it in deeper water, shallower water, you know, move it around a little bit because, you know, it for sure, it's not going to happen for you immediately. This doesn't happen that way for most people most of the time. Guys like you and I think don't think about the fact that we've spent our entire life doing this and stupid amounts of time obsessing over it. And so it comes easy for us. But there are certainly days when it's a struggle for us. It's just that our experience level helps us work through it quicker. For people to establish that experience level, what they really should do probably is, you know, try a lot of different stuff. Try stuff you read, stuff you hear, and try it and see what you enjoy as well. Because part of it is you may find that certain techniques you enjoy more than others. And I think that's another side of the equation.
Chad, we got to go. If they want more information from you, fishfulthinker.com, fishfulthinker on Facebook.
Yep, fishfulthinker.com, fishfulthinker on Facebook. And if guys have questions about the spearfishing thing or have concerns, they can email me, Chad at fishfulthinker. I am a member of the Sportsman's Roundtable. I have one more meeting, but I am a member of the Sportsman's Roundtable. And if you have comments or questions about it, I'd love to hear them as well. And I'll make sure they get to the right people.
All right, my friend, you have a good 4th of July.
Thank you very much. You as well, Terry.
All right, Chad LaChance. Hey, folks, we're running out of time here, but I'm going to post what Parks and Wildlife had to say about the spearfishing on my Facebook page, Terry Wickstrom Outdoors. Then I will post the information during the week about our point counterpoint where we're going to give time to both sides to talk about it. We'll also try to post as much of the contact information as we can, because I think this is an extremely important issue. We need the outdoor public to be involved. I want to thank Kyle for keeping us on schedule, Karen for keeping me in line. We'll let the Eagles take us to the top of the hour in sports on 104.3 The Fan.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC. First
Bank. Banking for good.